You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, join the official fan club of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns Backers. Join now and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, Browns Backer watch parties, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Johnny Manziel took in the Cavs game yesterday, showing that he can be comfortable in public, which I thought was good to see. His teammates talked about his return. Specifically, Dante Whitner was asked, does he need to earn your trust and the team's trust back?
I would say yes to that. I would think that he would say yes to that. But the thing is, you know, we commend him for what he did. You know, nobody knew the actual things that were going on in his life but him and his family. So to commend him to be so young and to take the initiative and do what he did, it can only help him as a person first and foremost, and then as a football player.
And that's great to hear. And again, Dante Whitner continues talking about that he believes Johnny Manziel can turn things around.
I believe that he'll come in, he'll earn our trust back. You know, he's that type of guy, and he'll have to compete for his job. And I believe that he'll be up for that challenge. But, you know, we'll welcome him back with open arms.
The good news is that they have that belief in him. And you know what? Somebody made a very good point to me on Twitter earlier today. Everybody right now is talking about Johnny Manziel. Well, you can't talk the talk. He's got to do with action. Going to rehab is a strong action.
Huge
10
action.
10 weeks there, that's an action.
That's almost doubling the minimum amount he would have to stay. So he stayed twice as long, almost, from what he had to stay, which meant that he probably wasn't comfortable emerging out of treatment mentally healthy enough to deal with what he had to deal with. So he stayed in. He stayed confined. He stayed close to the vest, you know, visiting, you know, friends and families only when allowed, never requested to leave, at least, that, you know, we never heard. And you hear so many addicts. We've got Chevy calling us up, telling us about the success story of either himself and people close to him. You've talked about it with friends of yours. It's not easy when that door is always open that you can just leave. You know, you're not contractually bound or legally bound by the court or the state or the government for any reason to stay in there.
Well, especially not when you enter voluntarily, which he did.
100%.
You're not bound by anybody.
Again, that door is open all day, every day, that you can just walk on out whenever it gets too difficult, too tedious, or you miss the feeding frenzy that I think Johnny Football got from social media and being Johnny Football. I think he's emerged Johnny Manziel, a guy who wants to prove a lot to a lot of people.
I think that he does have a lot to prove, and he wants to. Carlos Dansby said this about Manziel checking himself into rehab.
It took a lot for him to take that step. And like I said, for him to make that step shows that he's maturing a lot as a man, and he's growing as a person. So, you know, like I said, I'm anxious to see what he do and how he come out.
And here's Carlos Dansby talking about, you know, a little bit of insight. You know, sometimes we don't get to look into the locker room, and you don't know what players are dealing with. You only see what you see of them in the media when they report out or on the football field. So here's Carlos Dansby talking about if he was aware of any issues that Johnny Manziel had at any point last season.
I don't even know the issues. Like I said, that's a personal thing, man. I just knew it was distracting his game, and it wouldn't allow him to be himself out on the field. It wouldn't allow him to express himself the way we all seen him play at the collegiate level. This was whatever he was dealing with was suppressing him. You know what I'm saying? So him being able to check himself in and try to get that relief, I think it was huge.
I think it is huge, and the players acknowledge that. Joe Thomas as well, saying, now we got to see it in the season from him.
What people do away from the building and in the off season, it doesn't really matter in the end. It matters about showing up, practicing hard, taking the film study seriously, committing yourself to the meetings, and playing well on Sunday. That's what it's about, you know. So the off-season stuff and that in the end doesn't really matter.
It's all about walking that walk in the season, and that's what Johnny Manziel has done to try to get his life back on track. He's here participating in the beginning of this off-season workout program. All the Browns back today except for Tashaun Gibson, the Pro Bowl safety, still looking for a long-term contract, but he's got till Friday to sign his tender.
He does, and having been a National Football League player, a part of, you know, many different teams, and every year is a different team because, you know, there's some turnover, you know, with about 15 to 20% of the roster of guys that move on, similar to what happened here with the Cleveland Browns and guys that you brought in. And it's reassuring that everybody's here because somehow, some way, And that might be a bit of the humble pie that this team has grasped, that they're chomping at the bit to get back at it. Because I know, you know, ending the season the way they did, you know, losing five in a row, leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and they want to eradicate that as soon as possible. And so missing a few guys, a handful of guys, would have created a story, a buzz about, well, where are they? What are they doing? And like I said, earlier when we touched upon Tashaun Gibson, it's 100% understandable why he's not here right now. It's his only way of saying, I'm not satisfied, but if you read between the lines, he wants to be a Brown. He wants to be here. He loves his teammates. And let's just hope that his legal, legal managers or his agents are speaking to the right people within the Browns organization to help, you know, figure that out sooner than later.
216-578-0850. Let's go to Lynn in Cleveland now. Lynn, welcome to the show. What's up, Lynn?
Got a question about some of the opinions that the draft writers are expressing about the Browns' need for an offensive tackle. I think last year the Browns got Michael Bowie off the Seattle roster, and he had been a rookie that started 9 games. And
that's correct.
I'm wondering if he's being totally overlooked in this or whether he's a non-factor. I wonder what your opinion on Michael Bowie and the need for that position.
I've said it many times. I don't believe, Nate, in my evaluation of it, the offensive line is not a huge need. Now, if you want to do something on the interior of the line, a guard who can then play center, that's why Cam Irving is the only guy I think you take in the first round on the O-line. Michael Bowie, as you pointed out, started 8 games for Seattle in their Super Bowl season, was a top 12 graded run blocking tackle at right tackle for Seattle, according to Pro Football Focus, when he started. I think that's your draft pick at tackle. And not only that, he's played in the league already and started and played well. So I agree with you completely. I think that is being overstated, that the Browns need an offensive tackle. What they need is somebody who could play guard, compete at guard at the right guard spot with John Greco, and then slide in and play center if Alex Mack were to depart after this season. Now, there's no guarantee that he's going to, but that's why Cam Irving makes sense. He can help you immediately competing to start at guard at the right guard spot. Now, he also played tackle and was an All-American tackle at Florida State, so they think he can play anywhere, or he can play center. That's why he's the guy to me that you would draft. I don't think you draft an offensive tackle in the first round. At least I don't. That's not what I want.
And as you've said many times before, signing him the way we did and the fact that he's the big unknown, it's almost like an additional draft pick because he's still coming in so young, so fresh. You know, he's one of those guys, you know, that's going to be able to get under the oversight and supervision, rather, of the Browns, you know, training staff to make sure that he's 100%. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy that's in the mix that adds a whole bunch of depth at offensive line, which allows us the luxury to go get the holes filled that we need to fill, as everybody has pointed out for so long when it comes to this roster.
216-578-0850, and that's what I want them to do, address holes. Tyler in Columbus, welcome to the show.
I'm kind of the opposite. I think with what we've done at free agency, we just need to go in at 12 and 19 and pick the best available player, regardless of
yes.
position. It creates competition. We need good players. It creates competition. I don't care if it's an offensive lineman, a pass rusher, middle linebacker, or safety. I don't care what it is.
Yep.
We need good players.
You're right.
That's my opinion.
You're right.
Take the best player available. It's never a bad strategy. I think that if you have guys who are similarly graded and one is a position of need and one isn't, you take the guy that's in a position of need. But take the best players. You've got to do that.
Is there one position that you would not take the best player available in this draft at 12? Based on where we sit right now roster-wise? Would it be corner?
If Mariota is there. Oh, you're saying to go against that philosophy?
Yes.
Or what? If the best player on our board is, say, a corner?
Correct.
Would I take a corner? I mean, probably not.
Okay. That's what I'm asking.
But that's probably it.
That's my point, too. You can go wide receiver, safety.
I just think you have so much invested in corner already.
Yeah.
In 2 picks last year. You got Hayden long-term. You got Tremont Williams. There's just, I wouldn't do a corner.
That's the one early. Group that I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that. All right, we're going to come back, wrap up our first hour with more calls, 216-578-0-50. And then Dan Shonka, the general manager at Our Loud Scouting Service, will be with us at 2 talking draft in this year's prospect crop. Tim Tebow to the Eagles today. 1 year deal. How about that? Who'd have thought it?
Everyone, roll your eyes on 3. 1, 2, 3.
All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this. You want him to.